happy Noviembre to all of you out there in Radio Land. Noviembre. I learned that in Spanish in the, I think it was the ninth grade. That's how you say November in Spanish. I think December is Diciembre. And did you hear that little brr? You know, can you do that brr with your tongue? A lot of people can't. I understand that that is a inherited trait. Also being able to roll your tongue. These are the kind of things that we talk about on My Car Guru and only on My Car Guru before we get to the actual car talk, because today is really important. November can be a really good sales month. I know it's a big month in the holiday shopping season. It probably won't be this year because unless you can get in a rowboat and row out to where the container ships are, and they will understand they're going to throw stuff off of the ship because they can't seem to get it unloaded. They can't find anybody to work and drive trucks. It's kind of like the lady that I met at Subway. I went to a Subway place. I rarely eat there, but I was really hungry. And so I went in. It was right next to a furniture store here in Greenville. So I dove in and was sitting there. And there's a very nice lady in front of me. And we were talking a little bit. And she said she is the personnel director at a large plant in Greenville. And that they are, I said, well, how's the employment situation? She said, dire. I said, why? And said, because we can't find anybody that wants to work. We've got 200 plus, I don't remember the exact number, but 200 plus openings that they cannot fill right now. You know, my question is, where are all these people? What are they doing? If they're not in school and they're not working, what are they doing? Are they playing video games? Are they, well, they can't shop because they don't have any money. But maybe, you know, maybe through all the supplemental income that, people got through the pandemic, which was needed in a lot of cases, unneeded in probably more. But maybe they saved up enough where they can take a few months or years off. So we shall see. You know, I've been very blessed at Gateway, at my dealership in Greenville. We've, knock on wood, not had, well, virtually no turnover during the pandemic. We had some salespeople leave us. Some of them needed to, but there were a couple others that I wish they had stayed. But as far as the shop, as far as the parts department, anything, we have zero turnover. And I credit my managers for that, because they, when they have an employee that has an issue, we take care of it. We fix it. We help them. You know, we try to be a family. And I think if you ask most of our employees, they will say that it is a family business. There are real family members that work here, blood relatives. But gosh, it's just so fun working with all these young people. I'm the old guy around now, and it's just great to watch them grow and develop and try to help them avoid making mistakes. And that's what I'm going to do with you. So basically today we're going to be, you're going to be attending, unless you turn the radio off, you're going to be attending the School of Defensive Car Buying. And the first issue that we're going to talk about is fake dealer advertising and how to spot it from a mile away. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. Be right back. Okay, we are back to this edition of My Car Guru, and we are proud to offer the School of Defensive Car Buying. And the first subject, the first chapter, I guess, of defensive car buying is advertising and how to interpret, you know, because really that's your first exposure to what's going on when you're buying a car, usually. I mean, I guess some people do immediately jump in a car and go to a dealership and start negotiating. But typically they will go online. Approximately just under 90% of all car shoppers now shop online first. They go to get information at Chevy.com or Ford.com or Toyota.com, and they build or look at their little Corolla that they're interested in or their 4Runner, whatever, and they price it out, and then they submit what we call an internet lead. So that's when you send an inquiry into the dealership and it goes to the internet department and then they contact you. Sometimes, you know, a lot of dealerships, I know we do, we have chat on our website where you can actually chat with somebody and get some information that way. But, you know, eventually you're probably going to end up in the dealership. I remember there was a day when I guess all of our advertising was either newspaper, television, or radio. And quite frankly, we spent the most in newspaper. You know how much we spend in newspaper now? Zero. And it's because the internet has pretty much taken it over. You can tell by the lack of pages in the typical newspaper. And they probably don't like me saying that, but that's okay. I mean, that's just the reality. They have to find other ways to make their money and not off of car dealers. But it was easy to look at an ad and see a car and a stock number and a VIN number sometimes. And you would see the options. And then if it said there was a price, that information had to be disclaimed as to how they got to that price. Did that price include a $2,500 rebate, or did you have to trade your car in order to be able to get that deal to get a trade-in incentive? It's always been illegal to assume a trade value and deduct that from the price. There are actually dealers that did that back then. Can you believe that? So they would be let's say it's a $15,000 car, and they say, if your car is worth $5,000, then you can trade for just $10,000. And people would think that that's what they could buy the car for. Now, that's just crazy, but it actually happened. Another thing that's going on right now that you see on a lot of TV is when dealers are offering so much over book value for your trade-in. Now, when all this started, it was fairly reasonable. You know, we'll give you $1,000 over book value for your trade. Well, now I saw a dealer advertisement the other day where they're offering $8,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. Now, there should be all kinds of alarm bells going off when you see something like that, especially because if you read the disclaimer, which you can't unless you, like, pause the TV and then get up really close to the screen with a magnifying glass and you could read the fine print, because what it says is that it's not available on sale price vehicles. Well, either your car is worth $8,000 over book value or it's not, right? Should that depend on what you buy? Well, for the dealership, it does, because they're going to put you on something that has an inflated window sticker. As far as a new car, it's going to have an addendum sticker on it, maybe $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 in add-ons. Or on a used car, they could just, you know, not price any of their vehicles and just give you an inflated price when you're looking at a used car. You know, there should be sirens going off. Emergency. Will Robinson. How do they do it? Well, like I said, they inflate the sales price. They use addendums on new cars. They jack up prices on used cars. And then the coup de grace is when they try to close you on the monthly payments. They say, don't worry about all that other stuff. It's like, you know, when the Scarecrow and Dorothy walks in and they said, ignore the man behind the curtain. Well, that was the actual Wizard of Oz. The guy on the screen was a fraud. The guy behind the curtain was the real thing. Closing you on payments is kind of a fraud if you don't know what you're paying for the car, folks. It doesn't matter what the payment is. I know it has to fit your budget. You know it has to fit your budget. But what if you're paying too much for the car? And so you start focusing on that. Next thing you know, the paperwork does not reflect that you got $8,000 over book value for your trade. Maybe it does. Maybe they jack the sale price up so much on the new one that they're showing you $8,000 over book value. Well, that's just not right. And is it illegal? It's against Motor Vehicle Commission rules. And if you break those rules often enough, you get to go to Nashville and get to stand in front of the Motor Vehicle Commission and plead your case. Sometimes they even fine dealers, which is a good thing as well. Another come on is that you can buy today regardless of your credit. You hear that a lot. Good credit, bad credit, no credit, even recent bankruptcies are no problem. Well, folks, it's a problem. A bankruptcy is a problem. It is not as big a problem as it used to be. Used to, it was like the scarlet letter. But today, bankruptcy just means that you could start fresh again and you're less of a risk than you were right before your bankruptcy. And so people can buy cars right out of bankruptcy. There's no doubt. that that happens. But it is a problem because you're going to have to pay a really high rate. You know, there are a lot of folks out there who wish that it was true, that they could buy regardless of their credit. But late pays, IRS tax liens, consumer credit counseling, all of these things are red flags. You know, if you've got a 400 Beacon score, 450 Beacon score, even in the fives, and, you know, you've got current delinquencies, you've got a current auto loan that's delinquent, you're not going to get financed unless you go to someplace like a buy here, pay here lot. More than likely, you're upside down, and that won't work either. So these are things that get people to come into the dealership, and, you know, they think they've really got bad credit, and they really want to buy a car but can't. And people who have not so bad a credit but think they do, and then they come in and they end up buying a car and paying too much for it and paying too high of an interest rate. It's just, you know, it's really sad to see it. If you run into a salesperson who has a lot more interest in your pocketbook than your future business, then, you know, that's where you're going to run into stuff like that. And there are some shady characters out there. Okay, so another thing that you will see in advertising, you will see sale prices. So let's say that you're looking at a Hyundai Accent. Do they make those anymore? But let's say you're looking at a Hyundai Accent and they've got it priced for $29,995, and then right beside it they have a payment or $129 a month. Are those two numbers, does that make sense to you? A $29,000 car for $129 a month? It would not make any sense to anybody who can do math, because you've got to read the terms. You know, you couldn't get that kind of a payment on 120 months, and more than likely you couldn't get approved anyway. The credit rate, or the credit that you have, your credit score, and, you know, income, personal income, and other things are going to affect the rate that you get and the terms that you get. But what happens is that you see a sale price like that, and it's totally unrelated to the payment. You have to look, read the fine print, and in many cases it's a lease. So they're showing you a sale price, but they're also showing a lease payment, and you think that that is a purchase payment. Well, do you want to lease a car? There's nothing wrong with leasing cars. You get a lower payment many times on a short term. The vehicle's under warranty. You know, while you have it, it's a great way to get a new car. I have no problem with it, as long as the customer knows it. But I have seen dealerships, I have had customers bring me contracts, and I said, "Ma'am, this is a lease contract." She said, "They didn't tell me it was a lease. I thought I was buying the car." No, this is a lease. And when you get done making your payments in 36 months, if you want to buy the car, you can then. Well, how much will I owe on it then? $20,000. Her face went white as a sheet. And I get it. And she said, "Do I have any recourse on that?" I said, "You do if you were defrauded. But the problem is you signed all the paperwork. And you got to read it before you sign it." And she left, you know, humiliated. I didn't try to humiliate her. You know, I was just explaining. And I bet she wouldn't make that mistake again. Okay, so when you see a sale price on a vehicle and you see a payment, those two should be related to one another. I mean, yes, you can go down to the fine print and it will say, with 20% down, or, you know, $1,000 down at 4.9 APR for 60 months, and this is the total of your payments. You know, that's another thing that dealers do not do on their advertising that they are required to by the federal government. State government doesn't require it, but federal government does, that you do a full disclosure in your advertising, which shows the amount, the total of the monthly payments, the total purchase price, including tax. All that's supposed to be on there, but very rarely do dealers do that. Another thing that a lot of dealers are saying right now is that, just order it and it will be here in a matter of weeks. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, if you could order a vehicle, I mean, I wouldn't have to carry any inventory if people could order a car and it'd be here in a couple weeks. I mean, you'd wait a couple weeks, wouldn't you, for exactly what you want? Well, unfortunately, I've been in this business, full-time since 1978, And they've been saying for all of that, all the 43 years, yeah, almost 44 years, that they were going to get the build cycle down to about 3 weeks. And it was still 6 to 8, sometimes 10 weeks to get a vehicle in. Well, now it's worse than that. It's not a matter of weeks unless you just normally talk in weeks. It's a matter of months to get something. So is it fair for somebody to say, just order it and it'll be here in a matter of weeks? No, because you're thinking like less than a month, aren't you? I mean, that's what I think. If somebody says a matter of weeks, I don't mean 26 weeks. That's just something that's deceptive. So if you came in and ordered, let's say you went to Champion Chevrolet to order a new Chevrolet Silverado, and Tim said, well, we'll order this for you, and when can I expect it? His most accurate answer will probably be, I really don't know. You know, it could be here in a couple months. It depends on the chip shortage and what happens, but, you know, we can't guarantee delivery times. Now, that's an honest answer, but you got to still be able to live with it. Now, what do you do about your trade-in? Can the dealer lock in a trade value? I don't know any dealers that will right now lock in a trade value on an order because we don't know what this market's going to do. We don't know how long it's going to take for it to turn around. If it turned, let's say all of a sudden this big flood of chips hit the market and you've been waiting for about 4 weeks and somebody told you it was 8 weeks to get your vehicle and they gave you a trade value. Well, your trade value could plummet because used car values are extremely high right now. And so anyway, that would be something that would end up costing you a bunch of money because, well, you told me my vehicle would be worth $25,000. Well, they delivered a boatload of chips, and everything went down. So that's one of the obstacles that we're facing right now. So, you know, come on's like $8,000-$10,000. I mean, I could easily say I'll pay you $20,000 over book value for your trade, and then I could just go into fine print, and I could just exclude everything that I have in stock. Now, that would be total dishonesty, and I'm not going to do that, but that's the same thing. That's the same thing as saying somebody's going to give you $8,000 over book value for your trade-in. The only way they can do that is if you trade it. They won't pay you that if they're just buying it, and that's deceptive in and of itself. This is the kind of stuff that gives car dealers a bad name. So watch out for these, you know, so many dollars over book value for your trade because it's hogwash. Now, if they make you a firm offer, I will give you this for your trade. You know, we'll pay you up to this dollar figure if it's printed on a check or something like that. I make those offers to folks. And always it's subject to something. You know, it's subject to the condition of the car. We can't see the car. We just know what you own, and we don't even know how many miles are on it. We don't know what the condition is. We don't know if it has dents and dings and busted windshield and hail damage and, you know, curbed wheels and stuff. All of that has to be deducted. But you understand that, right? I mean, if somebody's going to pay you, says they're going to buy your car, but I got to see it first. I mean, you understand that as a logical consumer. But, you know, logic goes out the window sometimes when it comes to this advertising. You know, don't be tempted by come-ons as far as, you know, buying regardless of your credit. Make sure you read the fine print on sales prices and on direct mail flyers, on newspaper ads, if you happen to find any car dealer ads in newspaper, and then on television commercials and even on the radio. You know all that fast talk that they put at the end of a radio commercial? You know, it sounds like kind of like this. Well, you already, well, that's it's meant to be unintelligible. Non-understandable, I should say, maybe, because that's the fine print, and the FTC allows car dealers, and not just car dealers, but, you know, timeshare salespeople, you name it. They all have these fast talkers at the end to telling you what what the truth is. So don't forget my little saying, what the large print giveth, the fine print taketh away. This is a very true thing. It might be in Proverbs. I'm not exactly sure. So there are many traps that you can fall into if you're not paying attention. Just don't sign anything unless you've read it. I know you're in a hurry. You want to get out of the dealership. You are tired. been there for 3 or 4 hours, maybe 8 hours, some places. You feel like you're under pressure. If you start feeling like you're under pressure, just leave. You know, just say, nah, I don't want to do this right now. Well, what's the matter? No, I just don't want to do it right now, and I'm going home. You know, get your keys and go home and think about it. It'll be there tomorrow. You know, if they tell you, no, this deal's only good today, say, fine, well, I'll go someplace else where the deal's good tomorrow. Don't be pressured into buying something. It's too much money. All right, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. So tomorrow we're going to talk about negotiating and what's going on behind the scenes when you're trying to buy a car. And, you know, what is the salesman, when he disappears around the corner, who's he going to talk to? And what are they saying? What are they trying to accomplish? It's not all bad. You know, it's just it's a pricing thing, and you know, most dealerships are handling it well and doing an ethical job. But, you know, there's a difference between legality and ethics. Something can be legal but be unethical. Something can be ethical, seemingly, but it's not legal according to some of the rules. That would be a rarity, but it does happen. So anyway, the purpose of this show is to help people, you know, and educate and help you prevent you from making a bad buying decision, whether it be a car or service or whatever. And we'll try to do more of that later on this week, and I'll see you tomorrow.